The reading from the Scripture this morning is written for us in chapter 6 of the Gospel according to John, beginning at verse 51. This is a rather long chapter, and verses 51 to 58 are about two-thirds of the way through it. It begins with the feeding of the 5,000 on the fishes and the bread and all that's gathered up afterwards. And that becomes like a prelude into a conversation that Jesus has with the Jewish people around him and then later with his disciples as well on the nature of being fed in life and what is the true bread of life and what is it that we can eat that will actually bring us life. And so this is the subject. It could be that it is like a homily in itself. Maybe I could just read the whole chapter and that would be enough. But I won't do that. That would be too easy. So let me read beginning at verse 51. Jesus is speaking, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." That is not a scripture you hear very often read in church. And certainly we don't want it to be one which will make everybody run out the door. There was a comedian who tells the story of a dream that he had. And he says, "There I was in my dream, sitting at a table for two in an elegant restaurant. I looked across the table and I suddenly realized I was having lunch with God. Fantastic. And then God sneezed, and I didn't know what to say." Well, in today's reading from the Gospel, God is inviting us to more than just a lunch. He's asking us to come to a heavenly banquet, a love feast, not in a dream, but for real. Now, hearing this invitation, the question arises, how will I respond to that? Do we know what to say? Jesus says in today's gospel, "The man who feeds on my flesh, the woman who feeds on my flesh, and drinks my blood, remains in me, and I in him. The man who feeds on this bread shall live forever." And it's hard to know what to say about that. The story about this in John's Gospel comes right after the feeding of the 5,000. The people follow after Jesus because he was feeding them. So he says, "Don't labor for the bread that perishes. I can give you bread that endures to eternal life. And the bread that I will give you is myself. I am the living bread. I am the life. I am the food that endures. Use me to nourish yourself. Make me your food and your drink that will not perish. But then he goes on to say, he says some words about what he means. He says his words are not about the physical body, that the flesh is of no avail. My words are about spirit, he says. It is the spirit that gives life. The words I speak to you are spirit and life. So these are not words about cannibalism or about Communion Sunday. Rather, they are a teaching about where to go to find life. It's not words only that matter. It's not communion as a ritual that matters. Jesus wasn't even speaking of that. This was early in the gospel story. There wasn't even an upper room story yet. Rather, it's an invitation that was as hard to receive as the words that he was giving to the Jews. It was hard for the Jews to receive it. The Spirit of Jesus, he was saying, when incorporated into our life, brings life. Those are words that most of his people, Jesus' people, never did receive. And do we know what to say? We could say, wow, that's really great. We could say, this is terrific. But then we will ask, was this an expression of reality? We allow words to deceive us every day. We read them in the newspaper. We hear them on television. Sometimes we're easily persuaded because we have a mindset to receive them. Other times we reject them because we have a mindset to reject them. But can we really say they're real? Or are we being deceived? So we can say, I am a Christian, or I'm a good neighbor. We might even say, I'm a Christian and a good neighbor. And then we may feel somehow or other that these are expressions of our reality. But just to say I am a Christian or I am a good neighbor does not in and of itself create the reality of faith or the reality of love. I can say anything I want. I might even deceive myself. Because we just can't talk our way into faith and say our way into love. The man who feeds on this bread shall live forever, said Jesus. And then, immediately following those words in today's reading, we are told of how the people reacted to what he had to say, his promise of life eternal. And we read that after hearing these words, John's gospel says, many of his disciples remarked, this sort of talk is hard to endure. How can anyone take it seriously? It was difficult, even for Jesus' close associates, to seriously entertain a promise like that. Well, Scripture says that many of his disciples broke away from him and would not remain in his company anymore. But the 12 remained. And then Jesus said to them, do you want to leave me too? And Peter answered, Lord, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe. We are convinced that you are God's Holy One." And that is the point of this whole episode and all this story. The story is told of a certain backwoods preacher. He ventured high up into the mountains in search of new members for his church in the valley. And one day, after he had been climbing for a long time, he spotted a little house that he had not seen before up on the mountainside. Out of breath from his climbing, he hurried up triumphantly toward the man who was sitting on his rocking chair on the front porch. "Howdy, mister," he said. "I'm the pastor of the church down the hill. I just came up to ask you a few questions." "Shoot," said the mountaineer in his rocking chair. "Well, the first question is this," said the pastor. "Have you made peace with God?" And the mountaineer replied, "Me and God ain't never had no argument." "You don't understand," continued the pastor. "Are you a Christian or are you lost?" "Nah," he said, "I ain't no Christian. I ain't lost either. I've been living up in these parts all my life. I know these mountains like the back of my hand." "My friend," said the pastor, "what I really want to know is, are you ready for the judgment day?" "When's it going to be?" he asked. "Well," said the pastor, "it could be today, or it could be tomorrow." And then the mountaineer quickly rose from his chair, and he whispered in the pastor's ear, "Land sakes alive, please don't tell my wife. She'll want to go both days." What we really need to ask ourselves is, are we ready for the judgment day? Or more to the point, are we ready for both judgment days? When I was growing up, most often if I heard the words judgment day, it meant that final after-death judgment day on the kind of person we are in this life. And the verdict will be read and it will stand. And we won't be able to go back and do it all over again. But whether or not we'll be ready for that judgment day depends on the readiness for the judgment day that is upon us now. Properly understood, in Christian terms, every day of our life is a judgment day. If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, Jesus said, let him renounce himself, take up his cross and follow me. This was the challenge in the gospel according to Mark. And he said this to his would-be disciples, then and now. And he went on, for anyone who wants to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake and the Gospels, the same will save it. And we understand some of what that means. For every day, people are trying to save their little lives and missing the greater life. They are keeping what they think is theirs, and they are not seeing how much more life could be. Only in losing ourselves do we find ourselves. Only through total commitment do we discover life. We all grow up in a certain milieu, in a certain way, in a certain context. But there comes a time when that context may not be big enough to contain the spirit of our humanity. And then we have to make a choice. The banquet of life to which Jesus invites us is not a potluck dinner, where everybody brings a little bit and puts it on the table. Jesus said that he had a better menu, and it was well in hand. The table of the Lord is set. The food is prepared and ready. What Jesus requires of us is the commitment to face life as it is and to hasten it on its way to what it can become, to what, by God's grace, it will be. In calling us to this commitment, to this change of life, if you will, Jesus has long since totally committed himself to us. In today's reading is revealed the profound mystery and depth of his commitment. It is a depth that goes all the way through bone and muscle and heart and blood and soul and spirit. Jesus not only invites us to this banquet, Jesus becomes the banquet. Through the gift of his life, he ushers in the supreme banquet of life, the feast on God's infinite love, which he brings from God to us in himself. Three men were trying to come up with a definition of success. So the first man said, "I would consider myself successful if I could have a private conversation with the President of the United States in the White House Oval Office." And the second man said, "I would consider myself successful if I was in the Oval Office with the President having a private conversation and his hotline phone rings and he ignores it." And the third man said, "I would feel successful if I were having a private conversation with the President in the Oval Office and his hotline phone rings and he answers it and says, 'It's for you.'" Now, these definitions of success all have one thing in common: personal prestige taken to the highest level. And we would likely feel pretty good if we were in such company. But the success that the writer of John's Gospel had in mind is arrived at by a different test. For him, real life is the final test. And that real life exists in the believer who places full trust in the bread that comes from heaven, the food that Jesus brings in himself from God and into the world and into our hearts, the bread we can eat thereof and not die. This is the specific calling of the gospel, the invitation to accept that real life is of the Spirit and not of the cultural status or of cultural recognition or of material things. It is not of the superficial outside, but of the real inside, the life of Spirit. Young people start out in life with high ideals and great visions, but then they soon discover that the world will not conform to their ideals, and it doesn't care too much about their visions either. So at some point, many of them will turn to Jesus for some new insight and some guidance in life. Here they learn of repentance. They learn to change the way they think about life and to let go of one attitude and find a new way to live, repentance, and of forgiveness in which they learn to let go of the past because it is forgiven by God. And in that newfound freedom, to be able to let go of the shackles and move forward into newness. They learn of compassion, by which they learn to understand the needs of others and not be obsessed with their own all the time. And they learn to care for life, not just for their own small definition of self and their fulfillment of a personal nature, but for all life. Now they can grow spiritually. They grow spiritually in this new awareness that the bread of life consists of more than high ideals and visions of a personal future. Yes, and even more, the young person discovers they're becoming older every day. And they get older until they're as old as I am. Maybe even older than that. But they have discovered that each day of their life, as it gets older, they're being fed by the Spirit with the bread of life that endures to eternal life. And this is the life that is surviving the brokenness of their own experience and the hurts they have to endure day in and day out. They are being nourished by the Spirit of God. That is the real life. It is the witness of John's Gospel. The life of the Christian community, where we are, must come across as a love feast, like a heavenly banquet. It shouldn't be just like the call to follow Christ is the invitation to get in the bread line for a little bit of what's left over from the rich man's table. But rather it should be an understanding that this is a banquet of genuine life. And Christ is the bread and the drink. Our lives move in the direction of fulfillment to the degree that we're in a position to be reflectors of that Spirit, to fulfill the image of God's ownership of life that is within us, to accept God as the source of life, the leader into the destiny that is prepared. The most important thing taking place in our life now is that inner drama of saying yes or no to God. Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like you and me are builders of eternity? Each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, a book of rules, and each must make, ere life is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. Today is that kind of judgment day. We say yes to God now, but the question is what difference it'll make tomorrow morning when we face the world. Will it make a difference in relationships with family people, with people outside that and friends? And then what difference would it make in our work? Or will it make a difference in our leisure time? Does it make a difference in a style of life? Are we stumbling blocks or stepping stones? You make the judgment. You be the judge. Let us pray. Gracious God, guide us to be open to your Spirit, For there are many places in life where a stepping stone is needed. And there's plenty of stumbling blocks already. Nobody needs another one. The way forward in life is the way of the stepping stone, nourished by the true bread that comes from heaven. Give us this bread always, we pray. Amen.